G'day everyone, and welcome back to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Will, and we have a very exciting episode today because we are starting our position analysis episodes, and today we are talking the defenders. I have the dynamic duo of Jono and Liam with me. Jono and Liam, how's it going?
Yeah, going well, mate. Excited to be here.
For the Liam side of the Jono and Liam awesome twosome, I'm going pretty well also.
Awesome twosome.
Well, I can't say foursome. That's what I usually go with. But the dynamic duo is the word I was looking for.
Very, very good. Well, as we said, today we're looking at defenders. We've talked a fair bit about a lot of defenders through our club's episodes. But now we're actually going to look more specifically at the players in our back line. And there's some very interesting options. So I'm just going to throw straight to Jono. Who do you reckon are the top five premium options?
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating line. I think this is the line where we've probably got the most options at the top. So I've gone through and put together a top five, but geez, it was challenging to put this one together. And I think there's going to be some disagreements as I go through it. So to start off with, number one pick, I have a player that wasn't in the top five last season at all, and that is Ruby Schleicher. The Collingwood defender is priced at 793K. Which is very, very cheap compared to a lot of the options that we have up there. But I can very much see her going as our number one defender. I'm expecting her to put up about 20 points above her price, so probably going at around 80. And that is very, very exciting.
That's a big jump, even from a very, very talented player.
Yeah.
Yeah, 80 is very, very difficult to sustain. I think Charlie Thomas is the model of player that Ruby is. And that was in a very, very bad football team. And Charlie only averaged a 72, even including a game where she got caught off the ground for 30. She's still only averaged of 75. 80's a big call.
80 is a big call. I think there are not going to be many players in the league who can do it. There's a couple who have done it for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in a row. But I'm pretty confident on Ruby being our number one pick. I might just quickly get through the rest of them. So number two, we've got Charlie Thomas. I think coming off last season being the highest priced defender, I think she's going to have another good season. I see no reason why she's not going to put up very, very similar numbers. So I've got her number two. Number three is Isla Sheeran. So this is one where she could be number one on this list or she could be number five on this list. I really am very uncertain, but I've put her at three to start with. Priced at 925K. The real question, which is something that hopefully we have answered soon when we chat to Richmond, is whether or not she's going to be going in that midfield. Because if that happens, then wow, she could be number one very easily.
Yeah, I feel like if there's going to be any defender who is likely to push 85 barrier, I think it's Eilish Sheeran is comfortably the number one candidate, but it's all role dependent. And at this stage, like, we don't know. She played an awesome game in the midfield predominantly in the last round of last year. And and Richmond played like the best they had all year. So I think she's a very big candidate to start in my team just for that pure upside play.
Yeah, I think with that in mind, three's probably the right spot given it's sort of halfway between one and five.
Number four, we're going to move on to a Bulldog player that I think is probably the first player that I really got excited about this year, and that's Elizabeth Georgiou-Stathis, because what she did last year, as the Bulldogs side was really having a lot of difficulties, she is one player that just got better and better as the season got on. She averaged about 79 in the last 5-6 rounds of the season, and if she can keep up that level of consistency, I mean, she could also be number one. I've got her a little bit lower down just because I think there's a lot of change happening in that Bulldogs backline. And so there's a little bit of risk there, but I fully expect her to jump into this top five.
Yeah, I think I would have been absolutely pro moving her up the list earlier in the preseason. I think the problem that we've got now is the move of Fitzgerald going back on top of just a host of other potential defenders. You know, Izzy Grant, they've got Ellie Brown back, they've got Lala Wifi, they've got Ahrens. It's going to be a lot of experienced players back there. So I think putting her at four, she's someone that if there was one extra body, I think you could have bumped her up.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
One fewer bodies, yeah.
The thing that gives me hope is that last season, I mean, she was putting up that average without having the majority of the kick-ins. So even with all these players coming in, you know, I think there's still roles for those other players whilst she still puts up these fantasy numbers. It's just a little uncertain. So not quite confident there. Number five on this list is probably the one that I had the most trouble with because, wow, there's so many players that we're going to discuss in a moment. But I think it's very, very hard to look past Emma Carney. I mean, one of the champions of the game, she gets it done season after season. When was the last time that she wasn't a top player on whatever line she was in? So put up a 71.7 average last year, which I think had her at number two in defense. I'm sliding her down to number five, but I don't see her dropping much further than that.
It's just a question of when is one of the league's oldest players finally going to see a dip? And I think there's maybe a couple of players at North that I could speak to as reasons why she might dip, but we'll talk about them later.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about Carney is she's such a versatile player that she'll be able to probably find a high-scoring role regardless of how that North backline structures up. So I think it's unlikely that she probably drops below 60, even if time does finally catch up with her.
Yeah, she's one of their best movers, so I can't see them not wanting to get the ball in her hands. It's just where that's going to be. I'm not expecting any upside from her, so I wouldn't be starting her in my side, but you know, if we're just talking about someone that's likely to finish as a top defender this year, it's very hard to push her out of that mix. There's a few players just below that I think we might get into now. Maddie Newman, Chantel Emmonson, Gabby Newton, Beck Webster. I think all of these players are priced a little bit below. It's just, it's really hard to see why they would knock anyone out. So I'm not sure. Do you guys have anyone else that you would put in your top five over these five?
I think that for me, that probably seems like, at this stage, the top five. I think that it's going to be pretty hard for any of the other players to really knock him out, as you said. Like, there's plenty of players that I can see starting over these players, but it's probably more as like they're, you know, a fair bit cheaper and I can use them as a stepping stone player later. And given we're talking about the players that we think will be the top five, I think that you've probably got five players there that I would probably agree with you are likely to be that top five.
How about you, Liam?
I think Emma Carney's a tad high. I think that her time on ground is probably going to drop this year. And I do think that both of Nicole Bresnahan and Erica O'Shea, along with the addition of Libby Birch, are going to take away some disposals from her. And I think that there's one player at Geelong who I think hasn't actually been mentioned yet who could comfortably pop up into that 70 average range.
Well, we can talk about Claudia Gunjaka later, but for now...
yes, that's a great memory for you,
yeah,
Will.
I think yeah, Emma Carney's an interesting one. I think that even if these roles, and I sort of alluded to it earlier, even if these roles do affect her scoring, I can't see her averaging below 60, but that obviously pushes her out of that top five. So you could probably pick Emma Carney, you'll lose a bit of money, but she'll probably still be in your team by the end of the year simply because she's too good to need to trade out, would probably be the way I'd see it.
Agreed.
So with that in mind, we've talked about a whole stack of players already, but these are the top ones and a lot of them are the most expensive. So we're now going to look at some of the underpriced options. If you're not quite sure whether you want to pay up for the likes of a Charlie Thomas, who are the options that you could look for that are still priced at above 50 and are likely to average above that sort of 60 mark that we've talked about as what you want? Do you guys have any particular players that you're looking at as maybe a good starter just in that price bracket below? I'll throw to you
eight.
First, Jono.
I have about eight of them.
Which is why I'm throwing to Jono first.
Would you like my 10,000 word thesis or just the 6,000 words?
Look, we'll aim for eight in the middle, I reckon. We won't cut you off too much.
Oh, Lord.
But Jono, you go first.
All right. So the one that I'm very strongly looking at is Karen Peterson. because I think it's only been a couple of years since she was one of the top players that we were looking at. But unfortunately, she's had a little bit of a run with injury. So Karen Pedersen priced at 755K, which is around a 58 average. And she has comfortably beaten that a few times in her career. So last season, she had a knee injury delaying her start to the season, and it clearly affected her throughout. So she ended up missing, I think she came back, what was it, round 4 or 5? And then she still missed round 6, rounds 9, round 10. And it was affecting her throughout the season. So she seems to have finally got it under control, and she's going to be back to full strength. If we look back to season 7, right, she averaged 75.8, which is a massive, massive defender average. And that was prior to the introduction of the longer quarters in season 8. So I think she is such an important player as part of the team. The real flag with her is that there are a lot of defenders that have left the Blues in the offseason. And so there is a decent chance that she's not just going back to the back line, she's going back to lockdown on tall forwards. I think they have other options because players like Cordner, Lawson, Tavern are probably going to take first dibs at that. But it's really hard to see.
I also think we need to add that since Kez had that great average, there has been a new coach brought in. So Hartford out, Matthew Buck in. There's a noticeable difference in the way that they try and move the ball. They're not a particularly high mark team. All their best scorers are tacklers. And it really was some of the games where that was a bit of a beat down that Harriet Cordner and Gab Pound were able to score well. So I'm thinking about that round 2 matchup against North Melbourne. I think there will be some games where Kez Pedersen can score really well. I do wonder if Carlton's game style doesn't suit Kez as much as it used to.
I hear what you're saying. I don't think... I'm just not putting any stock into that on the basis that Matthew Buck's first season was last season. He was only appointed a couple months before the preseason started. They had that massive off-season review. They had a massive change in staff. I really don't know if their game plan, if I'm going to say, I just don't think it was fully developed. I don't think that we've seen what it actually looks like fully. I fully appreciate that all their scores last season were tacklers. I'm just not sold that they've had a proper run. You could hear Mimi Hill in the interview. She was saying that, you know, last preseason compared to this one, worlds apart. And I think we're going to see a very different looking Blues this season. I don't know if that means we're going to get a high mark game, but I'm more confident that we're going to see a better version of Carlton this year than last.
Yeah, and for me, in something that could trigger a lot of coaches, Karen Pedersen gives me real Hannah Priest vibes, which is if the role is there, she will score really well. But at any moment, that could change to just a role that doesn't work at all for us coaches.
Damn, I did not expect a Hannah Priest reference, but I am so here for it. I am here for every single second of it.
As someone who got all the benefit and then the not benefit of Hannah Priest last year, Hannah Priest is always at the forefront of my mind when it comes to fantasy defenders. So, very good. Liam, you've had time to prepare your thesis, and I'm going to limit you to one player.
I'm throwing a real curveball here. When we were doing episode prep, I talked about two players, and you guys said you had three that I was going to choose from, and I reckon I'm actually going to completely switch it up and choose the one that I didn't mention. I'm going to talk about Beck Webster.
Yep, that's the one.
Yes, there we go. I was going to talk about Tahnee Evans. Go listen to the GWS episode. I kind of gave my thoughts about why she's a definite possibility. And then the other one that I like is Nicole Bresnahan. I think that she will fill the role of Emma Carney. But Beck Webster, she provides something off that half-back line for Geelong. We saw her in the back end of last year, basically with no preseason, coming off an injury, still able to put up some great scores. And forefront in my mind is probably the best performance, or maybe second best performance we saw from Geelong all of last year, was against Essendon in that elimination final. And I would have said that Beck Webster was best or second best player on the ground alongside Ash Maloney. And I think that she looked incredible streaming off halfback. She has I really love her ability to come from behind the stoppage and stream through with ball in hand. And I think that's why she's comfortably going to hold 66 average, kind of irrespective of what happens otherwise. The reason why I like her even more is I think that after Eilish Sheeran, she is number two on the list of the defenders most likely to get a good midfield role. She's been a midfielder before. She's been in our sides previously. She was an elite pickup when she was named as a defender when we first started playing fantasy in season six. I think she's a 70-plus averaging player comfortably through the midfield. And to be honest, I think she provides a bit of a change of pace in that midfield at Geelong when she does go through there. So I'm very heavily considering starting her.
Yeah, and something as a Geelong supporter that I really love is the two players that Geelong really look for when exiting defence is Becky Webster and the other player that Jono mentioned earlier in Chantelle Emmonson. And those two get a lot of marks and a lot of kicks on that half-back flank just because of the way Geelong play. They want the ball in those players' hands and they want those players kicking the ball long. So to me, I think Becky Webster's a really great option. Chantelle Emerson's another player that Jono mentioned. More super consistent than necessarily really high scores. And speaking of consistency, the player that I've picked as my underpriced premium is Ella Heads. I really like what Ella Heads brought to Sydney last year. She was taking the kickouts, she was getting plenty of marks, and her consistency was really, really solid. She basically very, very rarely scored under 50. And most of her games were scoring between 60 and 70. And as a young player, she's a player that I really think can take that next step up into that 70 average. And we saw late in the season that that was what she was putting up. Probably more of a consistency mold. You're probably not going to get a huge amount of value there. Only probably going to be that 5-ish point price rise. But similar to what I kind of said about Emma Carney, which is you could probably pick her and I think she'll be in your team at the end of the year simply because you've got other players that are more important to trade out.
The one thing I would say about Ella Heads is if we hear word that Lucy McAvoy is moving further up the field more often, I'd be far more inclined to pick her because she becomes a more pivotal kick mark player in that defence at Sydney.
Yeah, and I think two of their recruits in Kiara Hillier and draftee Laura Hausiger are players that they've talked about joining that backline group to allow Lucy McAvoy that role. So that's something that I'll be definitely looking out for in the preseason. Very nice. So plenty of high scoring options in that backline, plenty of consistent options, plenty of a bit more speculative options as well.
Can I just jump in and just, can we just mention a bunch of names of people that we haven't even, we're not going to talk about, but I feel like there's a lot of other players that I've been considering this preseason, players that I was going, for today's chat, I think I could bring up Kez Peterson, but I could also bring up Nat Grider. I could also bring up Katie Lynch. I could bring up Emma O'Driscoll, Geordie Allen. There's so many players that I think just deserve a little bit of a shout out. If you're thinking about them, I fully see why you're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to be honest, I thought that several of them would more. I thought more of them would come up in Liam's thesis, to be completely honest. But as you've said, there's
fantastic options. To the task here. You guys gave me one and I stayed with it. I don't want to be ripped for not mentioning more of them. I can do that.
Liam, when we say you're only allowed to talk about one and then you don't bring up 12, we're disappointed, all right? We try to limit you to get you within the 12 range.
Thank you for the clear instructions, team.
We said we were going to limit you to one and you started by talking about the other two that you were going to talk about. So you did technically have three, but...
Yeah, but that was a reasonable thing to do.
Absolutely. And I think it speaks to the fact that there are so many options. As Jono's mentioned, and as Liam's mentioned, you could put so many different combinations in your starting premium options, and they're all very, very justified. Even some of the more speculative ones, such as a Katie Lynch, who we know has burnt a lot of coaches in the past, and we don't know entirely what her role is yet. There's been a bit of talk that it probably might be at fullback, but there's just so many options there.
And the one thing I've really loved as well is thinking about how different this offseason is to last offseason, where it was like, oh, we've got some premiums, and then, I don't know. Mm. And we were really taking a stab, like Brooke Brown was my stab. I think this year is a year where I think you can actually pay for those underpriced premium options. And yeah, okay, they're going to be 680, 700K, but I think a lot of them will push closer to that high 60s, low 70s average, which was a top 5 last year. I think the one player that we're kind of missing in this discussion is obviously Ange Stannett, who was a defender last year but didn't play a lick of defensive time. Outside of that, like, yeah, was that high 70s marker. I think this is a great year to pick a lot of different defenders and know that, okay, if they don't work, there's going to be an option. Like, I'm certain there will be several options that will crop up.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that actually changes the strategy a bit compared to last year, as you say, Liam, is that we were looking for a lot of mid-price options last year, and we probably don't have as strong a crop of mid-priced options this year, because a lot of them have either jumped up into that underpriced or we're looking at real rookie options. So we're going to run through a few of the mid-value options now. A few of the ones that we've brought up are Matty Gay, who's at Essendon, Laura Ahrens, who's now playing for the Bulldogs after going from the Suns. Another option that is a slightly higher average than a few other ones based on a few less games is Annabelle Johnson going over to West Coast, a team we know does well for defenders. For you guys, are there any mid-priced options so far that have sort of caught your eye if you're not necessarily looking to pay all the way up? And we'll start with Liam this time, because I definitely think he's got some opinions here.
Oh, I have some very strong opinions here. I think Ellie Brown, as someone going again back to the Western Bulldogs, we think it's going to be a goldmine for defensive scoring. She's someone that has averaged, I think, 58 or 59 in the past. She's got the full discount because she didn't play any minutes last year. She's definitely a player I'm looking at. She's 454K, so just above rookie priced. If you're looking to go kind of a three underpriced premiums plus mid price plus rookie structure, she's definitely someone I'm looking at. The one thing that I would like to talk about though is Matty Gay, and I'm very wary of this pick. I do not think the ball is moved well by the Bombers across the halfback line. I think that they are a bad team at hitting switches, and much like the men, what's hilarious is that both the men's and the women's teams are atrocious hitting switches, which is a great source of points for defenders. So I think that, yeah, Matty Gay's average is 70 in the past, but that was as a midfielder. That was a 60% CBA role. I would temper your expectations on Matty Gay this year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were burnt by Matty Gay last year. A lot of new players to the game saw Matty Gay as that really high averaging defender and thought, you know what, let's start that. And the role just wasn't there. And I think a lot of people are probably going to steer clear for that reason. Jono, do you have any mid-price options that you're considering?
Yeah, there's two that I think it's hard to find a way to fit them in the side, but two that I'm definitely considering if I see what I'm looking for in the preseason. The first one is Bea Jacobson, because I really like the addition of Paige Trudgeon. It sort of takes her out of being that first lockdown defender and gives her a little bit more freedom. We know the Saints aren't a team that move it particularly well, so from a stat perspective, it's going to be hard to see her take her average massively up, but it wasn't too long ago that she was that 60 averaging defender, which for someone priced in, 37, I think, is where they priced that number, that's incredible value. So that's one that I'm looking at. The other one is West Coast Eagles. It's Jess Hosking, who is priced a little bit more expensive. I think she is, 544K. But they have floated the idea of her playing a little bit of inside mid this season. If that happens, then she could take her average from, I think she's priced around 40. I could see her putting up a 60, 65 if she gets exactly the right role that we're looking for here. And that is massive value.
Yeah. And I think that, like, if she can step into, like, that defensive midfield role that Ash McCarthy leaves, that's a huge role for a defender, because as a midfielder, McCarthy was only averaging that sort of 60, 65-ish. But if you're getting that as a defender for a player who's already priced pretty cheap, that's really good value,
it's
as you say.
It's absolute gold, yeah. The only question is that Jess Hosking is probably one of the most flexible players on that West Coast list. She could play off half back. She could play off half forward. We really don't know. It's very competitive to get spots in that West Coast midfield. So I'm not expecting it, but I am watching very closely.
Yeah, and part of the reason that she is priced so cheaply is because she was almost playing as a key defender at Richmond. Yeah. was the way their midfield rolled. So hopefully, given they do have some good defensive options, we will see her up the ground a bit more. But yeah, it's a really interesting one. the Hosking sister that's now over at West Coast.
Yes. Can I just go back to something? I've been dealing with dial-up broadband from 2001, so I've missed a bit of the conversation post-B Jacobson. The one thing I just wanted to note is, yep, great, Paige Trudgeon is their key lockdown defender. I will just say that, like, Beth Pitchin was playing that role last year and she's injured this year and so isn't going to be in the side. I am tempering expectations. And I also just temper expectations on their, like, team and ball movement. Like, I think we've all watched St Kilda. If you watched St Kilda last year, sorry, you know that they do not chip the ball around at the back. So that's it looks good on paper, but it requires actually quite a few things to go right.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't doubt that. I would have thought, now that we know that Hannah Priest is locking herself back there again, I would have thought much, much harder for B. Jacobson to put up the scores we want. But it's really just a wait and see in these preseason games, because if something changes, then she's one with the potential to really climb quickly.
Yeah, and I think the other thing was Jacobson stopped taking as many kickouts. One of the things that made her a really good defender was she was taking kickouts. So if that's another thing that gets given back to her, and that's another one that we're definitely going to have to wait and see in the preseason, that's an automatic, you know, nearly a 10-point boost if she's getting two extra kickouts in a game. I guess for the mid-priced options, I was also quite keen on B. Jacobson for that option. The player that I have to talk about, because apparently it's a thing that I do every single year, is Sarah Verrier at Freo.
She's back.
Super talented
she's
player.
She's back to haunt your dreams.
She does haunt my dreams. I was really strong on Sarah Verrier going into our first ever season of doing this podcast, because the previous year she had a bit of a breakout year where she was basically scoring 60 points every week, and I thought, she can keep that going. Oh boy, she's just going to keep moving upwards. And then Freo just had a terrible year. Sarah Verrier had a terrible year. And it's been haunting me ever since, because she's been sort of in that 40 averaging range. Freo, we've talked about it at length, but there's a bit of a transition going on with the players and their roles. She's played a bit of midfield time. If they can start getting a bit more kick mark going on, she's an elite kick. They'll definitely use her. Potentially value, but I can't in good faith say that this is a definite pick, because it has burnt me far too many times in the past to actually go out and say pick Sarah Verrier in your team. But it's an interesting one from Freo. That's an interesting team to think about how they're going to line up.
Yeah, I feel like the madness part of mid-price madness is coming a lot stronger on this year.
Oh yeah, I mean, they say that, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result, and that's pretty much me with Sarah Verrier. But
can I feed the beast for a second though? Can I feed the beast? She had in round 6 and round 7 amongst the 40 besquillion other midfielders at Fremantle, she had two games with CDAs, 42%, 47%. Now, in those two games, she scored a 74 and a 61, albeit with the 61 was only in 53% time on ground because she got injured. Now, that sounds to me like a viable defensive option. It's all just predicated on it being a midfield role. It's not impossible to say that because of the sheer volume of potential changes at Fremantle, given they've lost their two most consistent midfielders from last year, Sarah Vera is a genuine possibility, albeit a remote possibility.
One to definitely pencil in for the watch list. I think these practice matches are going to be so important. I love it.
Oh, so important. We've talked about Freo at length about how important the preseason is going to be for them, how they line up. So I can definitely see it, but I'm gonna steer us away from that now, because otherwise I might actually go mad. Rookie priced options. We've talked to players on the cusp of that rookie price just above 400. So I guess now we're going to look at the players who are under that 400k mark, less than 30 average. We're talking either players who haven't really had much of an opportunity, maybe they've had injuries, or they've just been drafted. There's a few more options here which are quite interesting, and there's another list that I can go through. We've got players like Laloifi at the Bulldogs, who we know is a very talented player. didn't really get much opportunity last year. Kate Lutkins, who's won a best on ground, a grand final, has been missing a lot through injury and career things. There's a lot of different options here, so I'll throw it to you, Jono. Do you have a rookie option that you think people should be picking?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of tough choices to be made here. I think the one that is most likely to start at my D5 position is probably Lulu Beattie. I think Mimi Hill was talking her up as one of the defenders that are likely to slot into that Carlton defense. And as a halfback, I think she really has a lot of potential to play regularly, to score well in a Carlton backline that it's gone through a lot of change. I think they're probably going to have a little bit of the ball back there just to start the season as they get used to, you know, this game plan they've been developing in the off season. And, you know, at the VFLW level, she's been very, very good overhead. I think she could take a lot of marks and put up some decent numbers for us.
Yeah, I think that's a really good option. And we're probably not really blessed with draftee options at that bottom price this year. So I think it's definitely a potential one. Liam, do you got any thoughts there, or do you want to move on to who your pick will be?
Oh, I think Lulu Beattie is a great option to potentially start for us. The only thing I would say is just temper expectations on scoring. She's someone who's only averaged 60 in the VFLW, albeit, you know, she's coming in with a pretty good reputation at Carlton. But the one player I did want to talk about was Lauren Butler. I think we kind of who've played fantasy for a while are aware that Lauren Butler is a 58-59 averaging player pretty comfortably. And because she was injured a lot of last year, had an injury-affected score like of below 20, she's coming in priced. She's only 360K. I think that Jono said he was thinking Lulu Beattie for his D5. I think Lauren Butler is as locked as possible in at my D5. With the likelihood that Lulu Beattie will be my D6.
Yeah, and you mentioned that she was a, you know, near 60 averaging player. Like, her consistency in season 7 in particular was really, really good. Basically scored over 50 every single week. Was one of Mel's favourites as well. So I'll give Mel a shout out there. But yeah, I think she's too good a player to not be considered at that price. I think the player for me that I'm quite interested in is a player we've talked about a bit this preseason in Abby McDonald from Geelong, the third McDonald down at the Cats. Absolutely tore it up in the VFLW in the off-season and has been given pretty big raps by with Kate Darby. So she's a player that I think will get a much bigger role and is priced at only 334K. So another one of those just above bottom price players that could really jump up in price.
Yeah, I really like the option of Abby McDonald. I think she's one where I just want to see it in a non-VFLW game. I want to see that role because if she shows like any of that accumulation possibility, she averaged over 95 and had some huge, like 100, she had 149 this preseason. I think she could be a real accumulator for us. And she's still only pretty young. I think this is only her fourth season in the system.
Yeah, I think it's her fourth season, but second year because of the double season. So, yeah, I think that she's a player that could be in for a big breakout year. And I'd like to say that she'll be the next Laura Gardner coming from the Geelong VFLW team, but
that is bold. That is
setting expectations a little bit high. But yeah, I think that's an option that I think if you're looking for one of those cheaper options, could genuinely be a very good one, especially based on what we see in the preseason. So that gives a pretty good overview of all the different tiers you can go for. The strategy for defenders is going to be super interesting. As Liam said, you can go all out if you think that the value's there. There's a few mid-priced options. There's value in your bottom tier as well. But now we're just going to chuck it over to some of the questions we've got from some listeners. And I believe, Liam, you've had a look at some of the social questions based on who players are very much requesting information on.
Yeah, I've just been monitoring some conversations online and just, you know, making note of players that people want to discuss. I'd say, you know, Ella Heads was one that was definitely a popular option just because of, again, that consistency. We've already had a bit of a conversation about her. And Matty Gay was another one that's really popular, particularly if you're playing Marrera's Magic AFLW Fantasy. She's very popular. I've kind of made it known my qualms there. I think the one player that's the most often discussed online that we've not mentioned today is Gabby Newton. What do we think about selecting her? I have some pretty strong thoughts on this, but have you guys got anything?
I mean, it's a Freo. It's another Freo one, which is, I can't really tell you what's going to happen with Freo. So, but the talk sounds like she's going to be playing as a forward or a high half forward, even pushing into that midfield, which is a good role, but also an unfortunately non-specific one for us, because does it mean she's going to be the clunking marking target, which we know she can be, or is she going to be around the ball? Not sure.
I personally think that a forward role at Fremantle would mean that she's going to struggle to make it to her price. She's 861k. I'd much prefer to be paying, that's basically the same price as Elizabeth Georgiostathis, you know, within 20k or so. I'd much prefer that than Gabby Newton. I think Fremantle have shown themselves to be as changeable as pretty much any team around. And I think what Gabby Newton does is give them a forward, because they sucked last year when it came to kicking goals from like key size players. It was on your Tighe or bust. It was, you know, a Tuhaka Reina, a Kaufman, an O'Sullivan, like sprinting back towards goal, trying to like make something happen out of very little. I think Gabby Newton gives them a forward target. If you want like an upside, maybe it's 2022. Bonnie Toogood is probably her max, but in reality, I think she's a 60, 65 tops.
I think it would be pretty rare for us to see two key forwards really putting up high fantasy scores in the same side. And I don't think Onyetai is going to fall back at all, because she's such a powerful contested mark. So I think it would be a surprise. I also think if I look at what I expect from Freo this year, I don't think they're in a, you know, push for finals kind of phase. They seem to be in a, you know, we've got a year without some of our top players. We're in a little bit of change. I think they're going to experiment this year is going to be my guess. And I think we're going to see Newton have some weeks where she's putting up fantastic scores and some weeks where she's just far away from the ball.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about Bonnie Toogood that you mentioned, Liam, is that, yes, she was getting a lot of the ball up forward, but she could drop behind the ball. She could get the ball around the ground. I'm not sure Freo really have the structures at this stage for her to really play that role, because it kind of, as you say, it's quite important for her, we think, to actually be a forward target rather than sitting behind the ball. And we know that she's very good at sitting behind the ball. It was part of the reason she scored so well last year at the Bulldogs, because she is an elite intercept mark. But I think that role's probably more likely to go to an Emma O'Driscoll type, who we know is very good at it. And therefore, if she is just sitting up in that forward line, I mean, we saw it with Hayley Miller last year. You've got one of your best midfielders sitting at full forward getting cold. If that's what's happening with Gab Newton, as Jono said, you're probably going to see a few very low scores alongside some really good ones when she is on. We've kind of touched on most of the defenders in that sense that people have asked about. The only other one that we've really seen online is Matty Gay, who we talked about in length. So I guess now I'm going to ask, of all the players that we've talked about from any of the tiers, which one do you reckon is your biggest lock? And I'm going to start with you, Jono.
I don't see a world where I don't start Ruby Schleicher. I think someone who is priced so low compared to a lot of our other premiums, someone who has the potential that she has, I think it would be very surprising if the game opens up and we don't already see her as the number one pick player.
Agreed.
Yeah, for sure. So with that in mind, Liam, who are you?
Can I say Ruby as well? No, I won't. I won't break the episode like that. It's Lauren Butler. I'll take the other Collingwood defender that I think we're all going to have this year.
Yeah, as the resident Collingwood man, I'm actually a bit filthy at you both, because I was like, I reckon I can probably get one of those two. And I'm now having to pick another one.
While you think of that, I just want to clarify, the only reason that I didn't have Lauren Butler at D5 is because I'm pretty sure I'm going to have her at D4. So
I assumed that was the case. It was just a structure question.
Yeah.
I'm also like very, I'm torn on whether or not Abby McDonald is D5, D6 over Lulu Beattie.
Because that's who I'm going for. I'm going for Abby McDonald, and purely because I'm a Geelong person and I'm a bit biased. But I think that even if the role's not absolutely fantastic, there's just too much value there if she's playing every week for her to not go up in price. So I think between Butler and McDonald, you've got a couple of really good players that hopefully can sit at, you know, 4 and 5 if you really want them to.
I think it really shows we have a lot more value in our defense than on other years we've had. I mean, I'm really not looking at starting any of these top-priced players because I'm thinking it's going to be a lot easier for us to find value here than on other lines. Is that something that you are looking at as well, Will?
Yeah, because I was just sort of like planning what my team's going to look like. And I was like, all right, so you've got to start with Sheeran, got to start with Georgia Stathis. Oh, there's a lot of value in Slicer, and maybe I want another one. And I was like, why am I going for all these really high-priced players when there's so much value elsewhere? And I think that it's definitely something that you could almost realistically start with Slicer as your D1.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a cheaper option and go down from there, fairly safe in the knowledge that you can move up to some of those other players later. I think that's probably a risky strategy, but one you could consider if you want to get more money elsewhere.
I think that the issue, the concern I have with that strategy is if you're like, oh, I'll upgrade from there, you're then having to dip into the cheaper pool of mid-priced options, which we agreed is not as good this year. Like, are you going to pick a Matty Gay? That's my concern. That's why I'm kind of going very mid-priced heavy, I think.
See, I'm not going to pick Matty Gay because I'm picking Sarah Veria, Liam. But
if we're odds you pick Sarah Veria. Oh, it's going to be so. I hope I so hope that she puts up like a 70 in the preseason game. And so you sit there going, how can I not pick her again?
I can see a world where I don't pick anyone starting over 850K in my defense. I think a lot of those options, they're very good. They're going to be safe. But I think a lot of the ones just in that 750 to 850 range, I think they're going to be only a couple points off in the most likely scenario here. And I can use that extra, you know, 200K across the players that I'm choosing to sort of get a better midfielder, to get one of those premium forwards that we know there's so few of them. So,
yeah. And to bring up the triggering name once again, I think it will be important to find the Hannah Priest of this year, where you've got someone who is priced a bit lower, has that big jump, regardless of whether they keep it up or not, to get that money where you can then trade them sideways to one of those big options. I think there's going to be someone in this underpriced list that is going to have a big jump. And we've talked about who that could be. And finding that player early on could be a really make or break thing.
Yeah. I would say the only thing, though, is that in my current team, I've got Eilish Sheeran at D1, if only because I am just structuring my team as if she will get that midfield role where she can push comfortably to D1. That may change if it seems like it's just a defender again. I'll recoup some extra cash, possibly even like over 150K, I reckon. Like looking at a Tani White, looking at a Beck Webster, like looking at a Kez Peterson, and then I'll be able to invest that in my midfield and my forward line. But at the moment, I think that if Eilish Sheeran is a midfielder, then that's I can't pass that up.
I can't wait for you to try and pick Tani White in your back line. That's going to be very entertaining.
Oh, Tani Evans. Tani Evans, go away. There's too many Tanis.
But this is something that I think is interesting, is that Richmond episode, it's not going to be too long before we hear about this, and I can't wait until Courtney Jones gives us that insight.
Well, that's a bit of a spoiler.
Bit of a spoiler, yeah.
who's the interview going to be, Jono?
Could be anyone.
I wonder who it could be.
Could be anyone.
But yeah, I think there is a world where I look and say, I'm going to pick one of those big high-priced players, Ruby Slicer, and then the rest. That's probably my strategy at this stage. So I guess I'll finish up. Do you two have any particular plans on your strategy, or is it more just I mean, we're all very, very fluid in how we deal with our teams. They go through many permutations before the season starts. But have you had any thought into what your current defender strategy will be?
I think mine will just be anchored around Ruby and Butler, and then probably a D6 of McDonald or Beattie. And so it'll just be what I do with the other three positions. I've currently structured up with Sheeran because I think I need to see what my team is going to look like, because if I hear midfield role, it needs to happen. And then it will be flexible and fluid after that.
Is there a world where you pick one of these two as your utility? Or do you think that the midfield rookie pool, when we get to that, is going to be so strong that you can't justify it?
0% chance they're a utility, because I think that they're like Port Adelaide's Goody and Window are such a dynamic scoring duo for such young players that I need that. I will have to have that. And I think there's a couple of other cheaper players in the midfield that I'll want.
Well, I think that's a really good place to stop, because we will be moving towards the midfield very soon. We're going to have the ruck episode first. I mean, the rucks are part of the midfield, Johnny. You don't need to get too worried about that. But yes, we got rucks coming up, our analysis of who to go with in the rucks. We've got the midfielders coming up, and of course the forwards. Plenty of exciting content to come up that'll hopefully help you shape your team. Thank you for listening, everyone. You can find us on all the socials at FreeKickWPod. My name's Will. You can find me on Twitter at FreeKickWill. Jono and Liam, where can they find you?
You can find me at FreeKickJono on Twitter. It's probably the best place to reach out there.
And you can find me ranting about GWS and St Kilda at LiamAFLWFantasy on Twitter.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time when we talk rucks. Hope you enjoyed the episode.
Bye.
See ya.